Matthew chapter 17. Thank you, Brother Steve, for that good number. Matthew 17. I believe if me and him stood side by side, we'd be a match pair. Amen. Y'all see what I'm talking about? He's got the blue jacket and the beige pants. I got the beige jacket and the blue pants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 17. Please be turning your Bible there this morning. I'd venture to say everybody in this room has some need today that only God can meet. I know that I do, and I'm sure that you do. And I hope that the message will be a blessing and a help to you today. It doesn't have to be a long message to be a help to you. So please don't look at the clock and watch the time. Just let the Lord work in your heart today. Matthew chapter 17, would you stand please with me as we read a few verses of Scripture together. We begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible said, and when they were come to the multitude, there came him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth in the fire, often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. Now watch this. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not hear him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring me hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples to Jesus apart and said, came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Look at verse number 20. I'm sure you've heard many sermons, perhaps over your span of years, over mustard seed faith. But I want to preach to you perhaps a different light on mustard seed faith. Would you pray with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we need your help. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of God that's already blown by. And I pray, oh God, that you'd bless as we try to preach your precious word. Lord Jesus, I know I am unworthy to stand in this holy place and to proclaim the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that if anything will ever be done, it'll be done because of thee, not of me. I pray today we'd lift up the Lord Jesus. May he be glorified in all that we say and do. For we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, if you would. While you have your Bibles open there, would you be turning over to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17 as well? Now, in Matthew chapter 17, if you go back and you read the very first few verses there, you'll find the account of the Mount Transfiguration. And it was the Lord Jesus that took with him Peter, James, and John, went up to the top of the mountain, and their faces were transfigured. His face was transfigured. They saw the glory of God. There on top of the mount, they communed and had fellowship, and there they even spoke with Moses and Elijah. My friend, may I say to you, it's wonderful to have mountaintop experiences. Thank God when God blesses you and God meets a need in your life, and when God answers prayer and God sends a special blessing your way, thank God for that. But may I say to you that mountaintop experiences do not last. They're good for a brief time, but then we have to come back down into the real world, the valley. And when the Lord Jesus came off the mountain back down into the valley, all of a sudden here comes a dad running up to him, a father who is very perplexed. I'm sure he's at his wit's end. He's tried everything possible. He has a son, as the Bible describes him, a lunatic. Now, I don't know all what was wrong with him. Of course, the Bible says that Jesus cast the demon, the devil, out of him. But I'm sure that this dad had so much concern for his child that he had tried every available resource trying to get him some help. While Jesus is up on top of the mountain, Peter, James, and John's with him, the rest of the disciples down there in the valley. And so here this dad comes. He's got this boy who is crazy, if you want to say that word. And he comes to the disciples and he begs of them and he pleads with them, "Would you please help my son?" I don't know all what they tried. I don't know what all they attempted, but it was to no avail. I don't know how much prayer they prayed. I don't know what all they tried to accomplish, but it didn't do any good. And then the Lord comes down from the mountain, and just as soon as he gets down and off of the mountain down in the valley, here this man comes to the Lord and he says, "Master, I brought my son unto you to cure him." He said, "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do a thing for him." Isn't that a sad commentary on our churches today? Amen. There are folk that are hurting. There are folk that need our help. There are people that you work with, people day in and day out. They need Jesus. They need help. If you don't believe that, you just open your eyes. You'll see a lot of folk today that need help. And so the Lord looks at this man. Look in those verses we've just read. And Jesus said in verse 16, he said, the man said, "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." There wasn't a thing they could do for him. Look what Jesus says in the next verse. Oh, what's that first word? Say that with me, please. Oh, what? What's the first word he says? Say that one more time. Faithless. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. He said, "How long shall I be with you? I have tried to teach you. I have tried to instruct you. I have tried to train you, and you're just not getting it." And there he goes on to say, now look here in verse number 20, and Jesus cast the devil out of that boy, and then privately the disciples pull him off to the side and they say, "Hey, Lord, could you tell us, can we get a little inside information here? Why could we not do this?" And what did Jesus answer them? Was it because of your looks? Was it because of your money? Was it because of your prestige? Was it because of the size of the church you have? Was it because of the job, the house, or car, or anything? What did he say to them? Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Now watch what he says in the following verses, and here's what I want to get to in verse 20. He said, "For if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would be able to say to the mountain, 'Be thou removed,' into the ocean, and it'd be done." How many of you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? I mean, let's get down to brass tacks right now. Is this not, or is this the divine, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God? Is there any kind of error in here? Is there any kind of line here? Is this not God's word? And if God said it, do you believe he can do it? Whether we believe it or not, he can do it. Amen. Now watch what he said. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now I thought for a long time that he was talking about the size of our faith. I mean, we've all heard it. We've all heard it preached, and we probably heard preachers preach it. I have. That if you just have faith, just a little bitty old smidgen of faith. And by the way, they tell me, and I don't have any with me, but they tell me that a mustard seed, if you could take the tip of a pen or pencil, that would be about the size of a mustard seed. But that's not what he means. When he says, if you just have a little bitty old faith, that's not. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke. I want to see something else here. Here and back in Matthew, he said that if you would only believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Think about it, my friend. What could be accomplished? What could be done if we only believe? I know what you say, preacher. I believe. I mean, preacher, there's not a one of us in here today that don't believe the Word of God. Yes, I know that. But there is a part of belief, and there is a part that you act upon what you believe. How many of you this morning, when you walked in this room and you sat on these pews that I don't know how old they are, but they've got a little age on them? I did not see anybody that walked up and did this number. Let's see if it's going to hold me or not. Now, I have been some places that I worried about that. Say amen. But nobody in this building, I didn't see it. Maybe you did. But you had faith, and your faith had enough works that you sat down on the pew and didn't think about it, that it holds you up. Now, in Luke chapter 17, look here again. And the Lord uses a parable this time, and he said to the apostles in verse number 5, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. How many of you have a garden? Amen. How many of you, when you planted your garden, you only planted one tomato plant, you only planted one cucumber vine, you only planted one stalk or one ear of corn or whatever, one kernel of corn, you said, hey, that's enough. You know, one's a plenty. No, praise God, you planted, I don't know, 20, 25, 50 hills of tomatoes or whatever. You planted several rows of corn and several rows of beans. Why? Why would you want to do that? Because you want to increase what you planted. Amen? Come on, help me out now. Don't worry about the time. Just stay with me for the next 15 minutes and we'll get this done. Luke 17, watch this. For the sake of time, let me skip down verse number 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. There it is again. He didn't say if you had just a little bitty smidgen of a faith. He said if you had faith like a mustard seed. Now watch what he said. You might say to the sycamore tree, be thou uprooted, plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you have faith like a mustard seed. But which one of you, having a servant, which one of you, if you had a servant that was plowing or feeding the cattle and was saying to him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Now let me just summarize this in the next few verses for a little sake of time. He said, which one of you, if you had a servant, a slave, and he went out in the field or feeding the cows all day long. He's working in the field all day long. And he comes in, he's hot, he's tired, he's drenched with sweat. How many of you, as a master, would say to the servant, oh, wait a minute, here, come over here and sit down. What can I get you a cold glass of water? You want some iced tea? I got your supper ready for you. No. What would you say to him? You'd say to him, before you eat, feed me. Fix my plate, you're the servant. You're the one in charge. Then you can go and eat. Because what he says here is this. You don't reward the servant for doing what he's been commanded to do. He does that because he is the servant. You get my drift? Amen? That's like an employer rewarding the employee just for doing his job. I mean, yeah, you get a paycheck, but I'm talking about rewarding him for doing, no, you expect that. Now notice something that the Lord said here. The Lord says in Luke 17, here is a parable of an unprofitable servant. He's worked all day. He has been plowing. Does the master come in and say, I'm going to let you sit down and eat supper. I'm going to wait on you? No. The servant should serve the master. Why? Because he has been commanded to do so. Now, beloved, hear me out. The heart of faith, my friend, is believing God at his word. Would you say amen to that? The heart of faith, when we take God at his word and we believe it, it pleases God. When we don't, and when we doubt, it displeases God. How many of you believe when I tell you something, I'm telling you the truth? Would you raise your hand? Amen? The rest of you think I'm a liar. No, I'm just kidding. I say this respectfully. Have any of you ever known me to lie? Now, wait a minute. Let me see. But I try to live up to what I say. I mean, I may disappoint you. I may not mean to, but I may disappoint you. But for the most part, when I tell you something, I believe I'm going to do it. Right, Joanne? Have you ever known me to lie to you? Do you believe what I say is true? Would you believe if I said today, the first five people that come up here, I'll give them some money? Nobody believes me. I mean, I believe if I said the first five people to come up here, I'd give them some money. This is grace. Why didn't everybody rush up here? You said the first five. Yeah, but you could have been one of the first five. And I did. How many of you believe this Bible? If God has made us a promise in this Bible, and God has made a statement, if God has said, if you only believe, why don't we see mountains move to the ocean? Why don't we see trees uprooted? It is only the amount of faith that we have and we exercise that faith that God will reward us accordingly. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's not the little bitty teeny faith. You know what that really means? What I tried to discern when I figured this out is that mustard seed, it is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Just teeny, just a tip of a pencil tip. But if you take that seed and if you plant it in the ground and if you water it and you cultivate it, guess what happens to it? It grows. And not only does it grow into just another mustard seed, it grows into a tree. For the Bible even says that Jesus said that the mustard seed would grow to where it would be a tree and the birds lodge in its branches. I've seen a picture of a mustard tree. It is huge. A man standing in front of it, and it's bigger than he is. It's huge. What is God saying? God is saying to you and to me, whatsoever ye believe, if you will sow that seed of faith, God said he would reward the seed of faith. Now, listen, before you check out on me right now, I'm not one of them. Claim it and bless it and claim it not to preachers. But I'm saying this. God's word is true. It's only our lack of faith is why we don't see things done for God. Amen. What do you have in your life today? What need is in your life? Have you got a loved one that is sick? Have you got a physical need in your life? Can you not pay your mortgage? Have you got a bill that right now you don't have the money? And you say, preacher, I don't know how or where or anything, but by faith, sow a seed of faith. Of faith as a mustard seed. I don't have a whole lot, but what I do have, I'm going to sow it, and I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take Him at His word. What He says, He will do. And if we do that, Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. It is, my friend, the basis of this Bible. We are saved by faith. How many have been saved by faith? Say amen. Amen. We are kept by faith. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds tomorrow. I'm saved by faith. I'm kept by faith. And God says the just shall live by faith. I don't know where it may come from. I don't know how it may come. But I believe this. God's word is true. And let every man be a liar. Thank God He has promised that He would supply. He would meet. That He would touch. He would heal. He would deliver. And it's by faith that we trust it. Take Him at His word. Believe it. Stand on His promises. Don't deny it. Don't discourage it. Don't doubt it. Just say, Lord, I believe what You're saying is true. Notice something with me, please. Majority of us do not exercise our faith. Jesus said in both Luke 17 and Matthew 17 that if we had faith like a mustard seed, you could say the sycamore tree, it'd be uprooted, cast itself into the sea. If you had faith as a mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, move mountain, and it'd move. But most Christians today are not moving any mountains. Most Christians today are not uprooting any trees. Most Christians today are not seeing answers to prayer. You know why, my friend? When we pray, do we really believe and expect God to answer that prayer? Or are we just mouthing words? Now, a while ago when I said what I did about giving the money away. By the way, y'all can keep the dollar. Amen. I wanted to show you that if God says that He's more trustworthy than me, and what God says, you can take it to the bank. Amen. My friend, think of it this way. The mustard seed is a little seed. But you know something interesting about the mustard seed? Let me share something with you. Not only does a mustard seed just grow into a tree, and when you think of mustard, how many of you just think of that yellow stuff you put on a hot dog? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But that's not all what a mustard is about. Let me just share with you real quickly. A mustard is a very interesting plant, has a lot of history, both medicinal and culinary. In other words, you can eat it, but it also use it for sickness. In fact, the mustard plant is kin to a lot of other vegetables you enjoy. It's kin to cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and rutabaga, Brussels sprouts, turnips and radishes. All these are in the same family as a mustard. Didn't think that, did you? When we think about a mustard, it's the most commonly used spice in the United States, apart from black pepper. For centuries, people down through the ages thought it was a cure-all. The Romans introduced it to Britain. It became a very important medicinal plant. At that time, it was a headache remedy. Bronchial congestion was relieved by a combination of mustard, vinegar, water, and honey. As I was reading this, is just some background on mustard. I thought, man, I remember when I was got out of Bible college, we moved to Knoxville, North Carolina, and we literally almost starved to death that first year. I'm living proof I didn't, but we almost did. I'm talking about we ate beef liver and more beef liver. That's why to this day I really don't care for beef liver. We ran out of oil, and so our bedroom had a little electric heater plug in. That's where we lived for several months, in the bedroom. Shut everything off, hung blankets up, keep the cold air out. You think I'm kidding you, but I'm not. I got sick. Couldn't afford to go to the doctor. I got sick. real sick. The pastor's wife came over, and you know what she brought? She brought a mustard poultice. How many of you ever heard of a mustard poultice? Not too many. It was mustard and some flour and I don't know what else. And she made that concoction up and they laid it on my chest. And guess what? In about a day or so, man, I was up feeling great. It broke up all that congestion, all that bronchial infection, all that. Didn't go to the doctor. But I used mustard. You see, my friend, what am I telling you is that mustard can be used for a variety of things. It has been used as medicinal purposes. It has also been used by athletes for the strained, aching muscles. That's what you get liniment from. It's a powerful germicide. Surgeons use it to disinfect their hands with a paste of mustard seeds and water. What am I saying to you? I'm saying this. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. He said that, listen, if you have faith like a mustard seed, and if you plant that mustard seed, you plant that little bit of faith, it'll grow into a great big tree. And guess what? There'll be other benefits that'll come from that tree. You'll be able to help others, bless others, meet other needs. You'll see things done for God you never thought would ever be done from mustard seed faith. You say, oh, preacher, I just don't believe that. What did Jesus say? Because of our unbelief. Because of our unbelief. My friend, may I challenge you this morning? You've got to sow your faith. You've got to say, Lord Jesus, help my faith. I don't have much. I don't have a whole lot. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, how you're going to do it. I don't know where the next dollar's coming from. Don't know where the next bill's going to get paid from. The groceries are run out. The gas is out. Lord, I don't know where it's coming from, but I know one thing, that you have promised right here in your word. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You promised that God will supply all my need. I rest my case and stand on your word. By faith, I take a stand. Plant your faith. But you see, it's not only one thing to plant your faith. You got to step out on faith. That's where it gets hard. How many of you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think? Say amen. It's like the fellow though that's watched the trapeze artist as he walked across that tightrope and turned and walked back. And he had a great crowd down below him, and he asked everybody, how many of you believe that I can walk this tightrope? And they said, yes, we've seen you do it. He said, how many of you believe I can take a wheelbarrow and push it across the tightrope? They said, yes, we believe you can do it. He looked down to one gentleman and said, then, sir, you believe that? You come up here and get in the wheelbarrow and let me push you across. Oh, no. You see, my friend, we say we have faith, but what God wants us to do is exercise our faith. Step out on nothing. I mean, listen, you know what our problem is? Here's our problem right in a nutshell. Can I tell you? We are embarrassed to step out on faith. We're going to think people are going to look at us and say, hey, where did they find you at? Boy, you are a lunatic. You know what? We should be more concerned, not our reputation, but God's reputation. Because his name is on the line. Read Elijah's prayer, 63 words. And he said this, Lord, I've done everything at thy word. Lord, if fire don't come down from heaven, it ain't going to be my fault. Lord, if that sacrifice ain't licked up, it ain't going to be my word, it's going to be yours. Your name's on the line. Friend, that's where the rubber meets the road, as old J. Vernon McGee used to say. That's where our faith gets put to the test. Hey, let me ask you, what need do you have in your life today? Some of you sitting in this room this morning, you'd say, preacher, I've got a need I haven't told anybody about. Maybe I've got a family member that's facing some kind of illness. I've got a child that's away from God. I've got somebody lost in my family. Preacher, I don't know what else to do. Plant your faith. Believe in God. Step out on nothing and watch and see what God can and will do. We're afraid. Faith is no good unless it's sown, unless it's planted. Hebrews 11:6, write it down. Look it up this afternoon. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that believeth that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith you have to come to God. It is by faith we are saved. And yet, my friend, every man, every woman in here has a certain amount of faith. You remember the analogy I said about the garden? Y'all raised your hand. Y'all planted the garden. What did you plant? You planted more than one stalk of corn. You planted more than one ear of corn. You planted more than one potato. Why? Because you expected an increase. Can I have an amen? And what we do with our faith. Can we not be as bold to say, Lord Jesus, by faith, I see a black piano sitting there. I said it. By faith, I see a dormitory out back. By faith, I see a tabernacle. By faith, I see a camp meeting. By faith. You say, you're crazy. Boy, what have you been sniffing? By faith. Where's it going to come from? I don't know. But he that hath begun a good work in you, he's not going to let me fall. He's not going to let me mess up. If I'm doing and going and obeying and saying, my Lord, by faith, I see a ministry to the Navajo Indians. By faith, I see a gospel tent with a crusade. By faith. You say, preacher, where are you getting all these ideas? By faith. I believe Abraham every night. You know, the Bible said Abraham got left Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to go. I want you to leave. I believe he packed up his belongings. He packed up everything he had. He put them in the wagons, put them on back of the camels, and they looked at Abraham and said, hey, where are you going? He said, I don't know, but I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I believe every night when they got ready to lay down, him and Sarah, they dwelled in tents and tabernacles all the rest of their life. They left Ur of the Chaldees, a city that had everything imaginable. Like New York City today, had everything they could ever want. And they packed up and they left. And they'd say, where are you going? I don't know. I'm obeying the Lord. I believe every night, my friend, I believe, oh, Abraham, look over to Sarah and he said, honey, you better get a good night's sleep tonight, because just over the next ridge is going to be that city. He never saw it down here, but he saw it over yonder. But by faith, faith dares the impossible. James 5, and would you turn there with me, and I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. James 5, if you don't turn, write it down. By faith. James 5:14. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. My friend, I did not write that. I did not put it in there. Oh, no, sir. But my Lord did. And he said the prayer of faith would save the sick. Why don't we see other folks healed? It's because of our lack of faith. He said, pray, believing that God will and can, will do it. Amen. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Thursday, a week ago Thursday. Y'all can try to explain any way you want to. Can I tell you something real quick? Thursday a week ago, Brother Eric Hollis had called me. He said, he calls me preacher. Don't call me Brother Frank, just call me preacher. He said, my daddy having heart trouble. He's already got some stents. He said they did a nuclear test on him, told him to go home and stay there until they gave him the results. This was Wednesday. I said, Eric, we'll be praying for your daddy. He called me Thursday. He said, my daddy's done took off, go down to Dunn. Said he's trying to sell his house. He's gone down there. He said, daddy, I told him. I said, all I know to do is the doctor said, stay home, stay put. He said, daddy, if something happens, we just have to bury you down there. Thursday afternoon, we gathered around this altar and we prayed for Philip Hollis. And we prayed that God indeed would show himself strong, and that God, even though whatever the test would result, that God would get the glory. And we prayed that his heart would be clear. Now listen to me. Eric had told me he'd been eating nitroglycerins like candy. Thursday, he goes up on a ladder and cleans out the gutters. He comes down. He's feeling bad. He comes in, sits in his house. He said, all along, he called Eric later. He said, all along about 7:30, I got to feeling the best I ever felt. Eric said, I know why. There's a group of people at Harmony Baptist praying for you, Daddy. We prayed for him on Thursday. Sunday, he was here. Monday, I got a call. Preacher, just want to let you know, I got the results from the doctor. They can't find anything wrong. His heart's clear. I said, what's causing the pain? They said, they don't know. So, but his arteries are clear. No blockages. No catheterization. Hey, how many of you believe that God is still in the prayer hearing, prayer healing business? Amen. The prayer of faith. My friend, listen, whatever your need is, you got a wayward child, you got a sick child, you got a daughter that's out of the will of God, you got a son that's lost without Jesus. My friend, the prayer of faith, it'll work, my friend. Plant the seed, let it grow. Trust God, step out on nothing, and claim that God's going to do it based on his precious word. He'll do it. I say to you, it is faith in the Lord Jesus that saves us. It is faith that will take us home. It is faith. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, this is a book of faith. How do I know that there is a God? How do I know that there is a Jesus? How do I know there is a heaven or a hell? Because right there, I believe it by faith.